Hello, my name is, well, in English you would say Pearl. When I was born, although I was only a girl, people said my father had been blessed by God because I was so beautiful. My mother said my skin shone like a pearl, so they named me Pearl. I lived in a small town a long way from here, a town called Sarkar. You would call it a small desert town. But we had plenty of wells in our town, so there was no shortage of water. By the time I was 5, my father had had many offers of marriage for me, and of course he chose the wealthiest man. My first wedding day was so wonderful. You could see my father was proud of the daughter he was giving away. And Thomas, my first husband, Thomas. He seemed so pleased to have such a beautiful new wife that he wanted to show me off to all his friends. I really think he loved me then. But as time wore on and no children appeared, I saw the coldness creep into his eyes. When his family started to act like I was not there, I knew I was in trouble. Then came the day he explained he had to divorce me. How could he, the oldest son in his family, not have any sons of his own? Who would inherit his father's business from him? How could he live with the shame of a barren wife, even one as beautiful as I? But he knew someone else who admired my beauty and wanted to marry me, someone else who perhaps hadn't noticed I had no children. And that's how it started. That's how I learned that beauty was not enough and never would be enough to buy me a husband, and I had nothing else to offer. So, like a used object, I was passed from one husband to the next. At first, they were hopeful this time I would produce a child, but by the end of my fourth marriage, everyone knew I would never have children. Women, even relative strangers would keep away from me, afraid they might catch my disease. When I went to the markets to get food or to a well to draw water, they would close ranks and keep me out. They didn't want their food or water contaminated with my problems. Husband number 5 didn't even really pretend he wanted me for long. Once I was under his roof, he told me how when he didn't want me anymore. He would give me to his brother John to entertain John's customers. So that's where I ended up, dancing and entertaining men. At least at night, there were men who wanted the most beautiful woman in the town, and they were willing to pay for my keep. So what if people spat on me and called me names in the street? At least I had a home and food to eat. And if I had to go and get water, well, I could walk the 5 miles out of town to Jacob's Well at midday. No one went that far at that time of day. I could draw all the water I liked without being disturbed. Well, that was until the day John wrote about in his gospel, the day I met Jesus. It was midday and it was hot. I was at Jacob's Well to get some water. Sure, I could see there was a man there, but he was so clearly a Jew that I was certain he would never speak to me. I'm not sure whether it is being a woman or being a Samaritan that Jews hate most, but either way, I knew I could count on being ignored. So I put the bucket down in the well and drew up some water. Just as I did that, I heard someone say, "Give me a drink." I was so surprised I nearly dropped the bucket. I looked up and saw the Jew was looking at and talking to me. And that was how our conversation started. Give me a drink. A simple enough request, but most Jews would have died rather than ask it of a Samaritan woman. It was an odd conversation. Just as I thought I understood where it was going, it would twist in a new direction. We started talking about water and thirsting. He offered me water that would quench my thirst permanently, and when I asked for it, he said, "Go and call your husband." "I have no husband," I replied, dropping my head in shame. I thought he would be sure to stop there. Surely he would see. Surely he would understand why I had come so far at midday to get water. Surely he would know he was talking to someone whose life was so full of shame, there was no hope. Then he really floored me by saying, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." I could not believe my ears. He knew. He knew my past, knew my present, and yet he had chosen to ask me for water. He was clearly a prophet, a holy man of God, and yet he talked to me. It just made no sense at all. Yet there was something in his eyes, something in his voice that invited me on, told me I was valued, told me I was loved, told me I would be welcomed in this man's home. So I kept listening, kept talking. We ended up talking about life in God's kingdom and worshipping God in spirit and in truth. Eternal life. How's that for a joke when I didn't even want to live one more day? How could I worship God from the truth of my life? Would God live in the gutter which was my life? I didn't think so. But Jesus' presence gave me hope. I started to talk about God's plan to send a Messiah, a leader who would save his people and rebuild God's kingdom forever. I wanted Jesus to know I knew about God. Then he said the most astounding thing. "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." When he said that, it was like a door opened and I could see heaven. He was God's appointed king and savior talking to me, caring about me. And everything about him said, "I know what you are, Pearl. I know what you've become. But it's time to finish that now. Time to come home to me. Time to live like the child of God that you are. You were lost, but now I have found you, and I don't want to lose you again. Follow me. Let me be your place of belonging. Let me be your home." Never in my life had I felt so loved. Just then, Jesus' disciples returned. I could see on their faces they were shocked. How could Jesus be speaking to someone like me? I wanted to shout, "Don't you see? He loves me too." But instead, I dropped my water jar and ran back into Sychar. Once I entered the town, I grabbed everyone I saw. I made everyone listen. I met a holy man, Jesus of Nazareth, at Jacob's well. He knew everything about me, and he told me about God's new kingdom. Can you believe it? Can it be the Messiah is here and he talked to me? At first, they did not want to listen, and they tried to turn away. But I couldn't let that happen. They had to meet Jesus. They had to see. They needed to see that the past no longer mattered, only the future, only God's future. I refused to shut up, refused to hide in shame, and that's what caused them to listen. They could see I was different, no longer afraid, no longer ashamed. So they listened, and as they listened, they began to believe and hope like me. Then some men went out to Jesus and asked him to come and stay at our town, and he did. Over the next few days, he taught us, loved us, and healed us, and many of us came to believe that Jesus was God's Son, sent to save us and bring us home to God. When we heard about Jesus' crucifixion later, it really threw us. The whole town was in confusion about it. How could our Messiah, our Saviour, the Son of God, die? Especially the shameful death of a criminal on the cross. Why did God let it happen? Why did he not save his own precious Son? What did Jesus mean when hanging from the cross he said, "It is finished"? But then came the reports of his resurrection. His disciples had seen him alive and well. They saw him rise to be with God. And then came the gift of the Holy Spirit Jesus had brought with his death. God's own Spirit descending on and living in his people. The power of God's presence with his people, saving and healing his people, could no longer be denied. It turned our town upside down and turned our lives upside down. Now I am free, free from the past, free from fear and shame, free to tell everyone I can about the love of God that is Jesus Christ. And that is why I am here. Here to ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know of his love for you? Jesus is here now, here to invite you home. Jesus is saying, come now, for all is forgiven. Jesus is saying, come home with me to God, now and for eternity. Will you join him? Will you come too? Jesus showed me there was a place with him just for me, just for his precious pearl, a place where my glow will bring others to see him. It's what he always planned. It's where I really belong, a pearl in Jesus' crown.